I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. As you're turning, I'm absolutely convinced that this message that I plan to preach, well, both of them, but this message that I'm about to preach has been born to my heart through some struggles that I've gone through over the last weeks, month, 2 months. Struggles that I'm convinced every pastor has. But this message this morning is a message that, first of all, let me say this, I desperately need to hear. And if I need to hear it, I'm convinced you need to hear it. And I pray that as I preach this message, and just listen to it. I pray that God bless it to our hearts and teach us and remind us and renew us, because we all desperately need to be reminded. In the book of Acts, I'd like to read the first 8 verses. And I'm going to actually take the scripture from which this message will come out of the 8th verse. The Spirit of God moved upon Luke to write these words, the former treatise, message, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, and by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Here's the scripture right here, this part. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I've entitled this message this morning, Ye Shall Be Witnesses Unto Me. Now, there's a fundamental truth concerning what a sinner must hear when it comes to the salvation of his soul. Now, you're not going to hear me say anything any differently than what you've heard before. But I want to remind us of something. There is that truth set forth by Almighty God concerning what a sinner must hear. Romans 1, 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul was moved by the Spirit of God to say this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ. Christ Jesus the Lord. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein, in the preaching of the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith that's given from above. Faith is a gift. All men have not faith. But faith given from above acts in faith. It continues to walk in faith. It's from faith. It's from faith given to faith. You walk by faith. For the just, it's written, the just shall live by faith. So I'm convinced of this. The message of the gospel of Christ is essential, imperative, necessary. What this means is that we faithfully are to declare the gospel of God's free grace in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That again, that's the only message that the Lord blesses. It doesn't matter what men think, what my opinion is. It doesn't matter. Here's what matters. What saith the Scriptures? What saith the Scriptures? What does the Lord say? 2 Thessalonians 2:13, 14. You've heard me quote this so many times. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God, to take the message of the gospel that Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. The sanctifying, setting apart work, power of the Spirit of God, and belief of the truth. God's been pleased. We're bound to give thanks to God for you, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And turn to Galatians 1. There's a judgment that God has set forth. There is a judgment that the Lord God has set forth concerning the failure to preach this gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 8, Paul says, but I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Let God's judgment fall upon him. So there is a truth of the necessity of the gospel. We must preach the gospel. Now, how does one know when they're truly hearing the gospel? Turn to Acts 20 and verse 24. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts 20. I read this passage of Scripture and I thought, you know what? That sums it up right there. Acts 20:24. Paul, in his charge to the elders at Ephesus, he said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, now listen to this, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, the reason I wanted to read that passage of Scripture is because man by nature will try to twist or wrest the Scripture and say, Now we believe that we're saved by grace. But what that means is that God graciously offers the message of life, and all man has to do is accept it. Well, now that's confusing. That's confusing. There's something wrong with that statement. What's wrong with it? You're using grace and works in the same sentence, and you're trying to mingle them, and they don't mingle. Turn with me to Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. When I say the grace of God, what do I mean? What am I saying? The grace of God. Am I saying that God graciously offers something and then man has to accept it in order to make it real? Look at Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Paul preaching says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. He said, for I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Watch ye not, or know ye not what the scripture says of Elias or Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, now listen to this, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What he's saying is this. You can't say grace and then add your effort to it. You cannot do that. If you say grace, then it is all of grace without any act of man's work added to it to make it effectual. Now, does a man or a woman react to the moving power of God's Spirit? Yes. Do they believe? Yes. But is that belief or that faith, does that make their salvation then effectual? No. It's the effect of it. It's the evidence of it. I'm breathing because I'm alive. I didn't start breathing in order to become alive. I was dead. I had to have life in order for me to breathe. A sinner believes because God makes him alive and gives him faith to believe, and then he believes. His belief added nothing to it. So when we say that we're saved by grace, then that means that it's no more work. Because work and grace don't mix. It's not that. So there's a fundamental truth. We must hear the gospel. The gospel of free grace. If you add man's works into it, Paul says that's confusing. That's what he said in Galatians 1. That's no. You can't add works to man's salvation to make him alive. You can't. That is not salvation by the grace of God. Well, Peter said over in, if you want to turn to 2 Peter 3:1, I'm just going to read a scripture to you, and I'm going to show you where I'm going with this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Peter said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Peter said, I want to stir your minds up about something. I want to stir your minds up about a truth that has been set forth by the Lord, set forth as He spoke to His prophets, as He spoke to His apostles. There's something that we all need to be reminded of. And here's now I'm going to get into the heart. Establish the necessity of the gospel. That's a fact. That's a given fact. That's a foundational truth that we all are in agreement. And here's another thing, a foundational truth that we all need to be reminded of. Almighty God is going to save His people. That's a fact. He's going to save them through the preaching of the gospel. That's a fact. Now, Almighty God has also set forth in His Word that He's been pleased to use means through which He's going to accomplish His purpose. And here's what God has set forth that He's going to do. He's going to use witnesses. Witnesses. That's what He told His apostles on the mount before He ascended into heaven. On the Mount of Olives. He said, you're going to be witnesses. You're going to be witnesses of me. You're going to be my witnesses. Romans 10:13-15 says this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The Lord has been pleased to sovereignly save His people, which He shall do. All that the Father giveth me, the Lord said, shall come to me. But let me tell you how He's been pleased to do it. He's been pleased to do it through the mouths of His people. He's been pleased to do it. Well, couldn't the Lord do? The Lord can do anything the Lord wants to do. And the Lord has revealed that He's got means. In the book of Luke, turn over to Luke 14. Luke 14. The Lord was speaking to a group of people. Luke 14. And He gave a parable concerning the calling out of His people. And here's how the parable went. Luke 14, verse 15 through 24. And when one of them that sat at meat with Him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, this is the Lord speaking, he said, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets, lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, the Lord has declared in this parable there's a great supper. There's a great supper that God Almighty has prepared. And it's a feast. It's a feast of God's provision, wherein all that's needed of needy sinners, Christ supplies. It's a supper. It's a supper that man by nature despises and finds countless excuses to avoid. Let me tell you what this supper is right here. What's this supper? Right here. Right here. Here we are. This is a great, well, you say this is a great marriage supper of the Lord. No. There's a lot of people invited to this supper right here, and they're finding excuses not to come. I tell you what, all that eats of that feast, that great day when the Lord's with His people, all God's people will be there. Yeah. No, this is right now. Here's a great feast. This is a blessed supper of the proclamation of the glorious gospel of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did the Lord say to His servant concerning this supper? Well, he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, all things are ready. Come eat." And many that heard him, what did a lot of them do? "Well, I just don't, be honest with you. Oh, I'd love to. I wish God, you know what? I bought some cattle. I need to go prove them, be honest with you. You know what? You ain't gonna believe this. I just got married. And, got my wife, and I wish I could. You know, I bought 40 acres over here, and I need to go over there. And could you have me excused?" And the scripture says that the master of this supper, he was angry. Now, ultimately, you know this is talking about the proclamation of the gospel to the Jews first. And then the Lord providentially, after by and large it was refused by the Jews, according to God's everlasting purpose and will, He sent through Paul preaching, He said, I go to the Gentiles now. You refused it. I go. God eternally planned that. But were the Jews that refused to hear, were they with that excuse? No. No. Why did they refuse? Because they wanted to. And the Lord providentially sent the gospel to Gentiles. Here we are. Here's a great supper set forth. Everything that's needed for the spiritual well-being of our soul is right here in this book. And that's what we set forth. The best. The Lamb Himself. The glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Lord commission His disciples to do before He left? He had come to preach the gospel first to the Jews. They refused. What happened? He told His disciples in Mark 16:50, "You go into all the world and you preach the gospel to every creature." Every creature. Those in our parable that refused. The Lord said, "I want you to go. You preach to the maimed, the halt, those that are blind. We preach, we invite spiritually poor, maimed, halt, people that are blind to their need." What do we say to them? "You come and you buy without money, without price. You look to Christ and live." What are we doing? We're telling men. We tell them, you know. We tell them the truth of the glorious gospel. Is the Lord going to save His people? Yes. Is He going to sovereignly save them? Yes. Are any of them going to be lost? No. How many of them are going to come that He's everlastingly loved in Christ, chosen in Christ, that Christ redeemed? How many are going to come? All of them. What do? You tell them. You tell them. Is my telling them going to make it more effectual? No, absolutely not. Not in the least. Does it matter whether I tell them or not? Yes. Why? Because He commanded it. There was a woman in the Gospel of John chapter 4 that was crossed. Her path was crossed. It was a woman of Sychar. And the Lord must needs go through Samaria because this woman was there. You know the story. There was a woman that He was going to meet. He was going to meet her about noon at a well. And this woman came and He began to talk to her. And here's the Lord of glory. And He told her of Himself and told her of herself. And He told her who He was. He said, "The water that I give He said, you'll never thirst again. She said, evermore, give me this water. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle John in that account to write something that we all need to hear. Here was the sovereign God of this universe speaking to this woman. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he was going to cross this woman's path. One woman. At Sychar. At a well. And he crossed it. And he talked to her. And then the Spirit of God told John, you write this down right here. In John 4:39-42, she left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, here's what she did. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? The Lord moved upon John to write those scriptures. And then the scripture says concerning the movement of God's Spirit upon those men that heard him. Here's what they did. After they heard, they came, they heard the Lord. Now, the Lord spoke to one woman. Spirit of God moved her. You go back and tell some men in that city. And she did. And it says concerning that woman going back, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we've heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Did it matter whether or not that woman would go and talk to those men? Absolutely. Did God purpose it? Absolutely. Who did the Lord speak to? One woman. What did the Spirit of God move on her to do? I'm going to tell somebody. I'm going to tell them. In Mark chapter 5, there was a man possessed with a legion of demons, and he dwelt among the tombs, and nobody could bind him. And the Lord crossed his path. And that man possessed with demons, the Lord cast those demons out. Cast them as swine. They ran him, drowned in a sea. People of the city came and they found this man. He was sitting, clothed, in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they told the Lord, we don't want you here. We want you to leave. And he did. He was leaving. And when he got ready to leave, this man that was delivered by the Lord of those demons, he wanted to go with the Lord. I want to go with you. He said, no, no, no. Here's what he said to him. Mark chapter 5, verse 19-20. He said, you go home. Now this is very significant. To your friends. Go home to your friends. And tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. They marveled at him. Just, you go tell your friends. You know the significance of that? They knew him. They knew him. You're that crazy man. Out there in the tombs, cut yourself. Rocks and cry and howl and scares everybody. I don't know. They marveled. You go home and you tell your friends what great things. Again, brethren, God's got a people that he's everlastingly loved. They're going to hear the message of God's free and sovereign grace. They're going to hear it. There's no doubt about it. And God has means that He has graciously set forth in these Scriptures. Now, again, I'm going to tell you something. This message is for me, primarily for me. It's something that I've been dealing with. I've struggled with. Almighty God has chosen to call out His elect through the hearing of the gospel. Here's my exhortation to myself and to all of you and to all that hear this message on the internet. Invite somebody to come. Please, Lord, keep me with this remembrance. Number one, You've commanded us to do this. You shall be witnesses unto me. There is no telling. I'm just going to bare my heart to you. There is no telling what God might be pleased to do. Here's a little congregation here of precious, precious people. Precious to the Lord and precious to God's people. There's no telling what God might be pleased to do. If Almighty God might bless a word spoken to somebody else. Now, first of all, let me tell you this. I know what we all think. Well, they're not going to come. That's not our call. That's not my call. How many of you would have picked a Saul of Tarsus to try to talk to? None of us. None of us. Oh, they're so steeped in their religion. God saves men out of false religion. Believe me, you're looking at one. God saves His people from themselves, out of their ignorance. This is the only hope. I just watched my mom take her last breath just a few weeks ago. I watched her. You did too. You saw her. I watched her. You know the first thing I thought? I wonder what she sees right now. I wonder what she sees. Oh, what she knows right now. We're talking about eternity-bound sinners. I'm not trying to play on my emotions, your emotions. I'm trying to be truthful. I'm telling you, we're leaving this world. We're going to leave this world. And I know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I know that God has said, you're going to be witnesses unto me. I know that the Lord sent His disciples in all the world to preach the gospel. I know that there was a woman at Sychar who went and told somebody. I know that the Lord told a delivered demoniac, you go home and you tell your friends. You tell them. You go tell them. And He did. May the Lord keep us from the fear of thinking, well, what are they going to think? They're going to die. They're going to die. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to act stupid. I'm going to act stupid regardless. But God, keep me from my stupidity. Lord, help me. How many people do you come to? These people that you know, you know people. I know people. Now this is a stirring up. As people say, Peter said, I want to stir you up to your remembrance. I need to be stirred up to what the Lord has called me to do and you to do, you that know Him. Invite somebody. Whenever somebody got to a point, I know with my mom, I told you this, my mom's sister. I'll never forget what my mom said. She told me one time she invited her. One time she told her, she said, Marion, don't ever say that to me again. And she never did. But I tell you one thing. She did invite her. May the Lord help us today to remind us we're witnesses unto the Lord. We are the Lord's witnesses. We got a message. We got a heart for Christ. May God help us to be obedient for His glory and our good. Amen. All right.